This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's hour number three as we continue this morning. And I hope you had a good Easter. I hope you had a good Passover. The USFL debuted this weekend. I was talking about this earlier, that I disagree with the fact that these games are being played in Birmingham. Because if you're just going to be playing in neutral sites this season, the number one measuring stick and the number two measuring stick and the third measuring stick and the fourth measuring stick are all about television. That's it. That's the only way you're going to be able to justify any success. There won't be any local sponsorships. There's no season ticket holders. There's no energy in a home stadium. If you're going to play these in neutral sites, and the only way you measure whether or not you've had a successful season is by the ratings it generates and the partnerships that you have with Fox and NBC. So the numbers are in, and according to the USFL, there was a total of 3 million people tuned in to see the New Jersey Generals play the Birmingham Stallions on Saturday night to open up the season. Now, that 3 million compares to 2.9 that the AAF drew for its debut on a Saturday night in 2019, and the XFL drew 3.3 million on their Saturday opener in 2020. Now, I think that, again, your debut episode or your debut game on TV of a new league is the one that's going to generate the most. And then it starts to decline a little bit after that, unless there's an amazingly intriguing matchup or this thing really starts to pick up steam. But for the most part, the interest that people have in your product in the very, very beginning, and then you start to see it tail off a little bit. You hope to increase it back up because you hope that there's enough people to keep finding the storylines compelling. But that's the other problem. Are there enough storylines that are going to be compelling to draw new interest in the USFL? If the initial product, the initial audience, turns away from it and says, you know what, I tried it, it wasn't my cup of tea, I didn't really like the way the football was played, or I did like it and I'll keep coming back for more, then again, that's how they're going to be judging this on a week-to-week basis. But that's not a great way to just determine the success of your first season. Again, I've been rooting for it. I want it to succeed. I just don't know if they're executing it properly in terms of generating interest. I think these kind of leagues work best when they're localized. I just don't think national and national TV with 8 teams, 10 weeks is going to be enough to warrant all of the costs of running this in the first place. So I hope it's not dead on arrival. I hope it lasts, but it needs to be a little bit better.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It's hour number three rolling along. NBA playoffs, game ones are done. Heading into game two. I love the space between games, though. We play a game on Sunday. We don't play again until Wednesday. Like Brian Barrett in the last hour said, it's like NFL analysis. It's like we got so much time to the next game. Way to figure it all out. By the way, Ron, today is my wedding anniversary, and I can't figure out what I'm doing for dinner. Like, do I take my wife out? 24 years we've been married. Do I take my wife out to, like, a restaurant we've never been to before? Or do I take her to something familiar? Because...
Here's, I think some place she's never been to before.
Here's what goes down in my house when my wife and I want to go out to eat. I'll say, hey, where do you want to go? And she says, it doesn't matter. And then I list off a bunch of things, and apparently it does matter.
Yeah. But I think if there's some, like, you know, not total bougie place, but a semi-bougie place that you could take her to, I say you go there and say, you know what? I wanted to try this place, this little spot.
One of the things I struggle with, and I tell her this all the time, I go, whenever we go out to eat, I said, here's what happens. I said, we order food, and then you eat like half of it, and then you tell the waitress, can I get a box? And then that box sits in the refrigerator for a week before you throw it away. And she goes, yeah. I go, why don't you just tell the waitress, I don't want this. I'm not boxing it. Who am I kidding? I'm taking it home. We're not eating it. I'm not eating it. I'm not taking it to work tomorrow. Why don't you just do that? Save her the time of boxing up the food. She always says, well, every time I get it, I always think I'm going to. And I'm like, no, you don't. So I, you know, I suggest this. You should ask him if you could get like half portion, like a lunch portion or a kid's portion. If you're just going to take half of it home and throw it away. But I'm thinking about, I want to go someplace, I don't know, I think go someplace cool. Problem is, like, her and I, we have a similar taste in restaurants on, like, three or four. Three or four we agree on what we love. Then there's ones where she likes and I don't, and there's ones that I love and she is like, eh. So I got to find the middle ground. Oh, it's so complicated. Even after 24 years, we can't figure out where we want to go to eat. We thought about it all weekend. Couldn't figure it out. Not once. So 24 years being married on this day. Wild time.
Not too shabby.
Not too bad, huh? With number of cities, number of places
that
we've been to. So it's been kind of a cool run. So, but yeah, we'll figure out where I go to dinner tonight, where we go out to eat.
Semi-bougie.
There used to be this app that used to like put in your town and it had like all your restaurants in, within that town, and then it would spin like a roulette wheel.
Yes.
Remember that? Do you remember
yes,
this?
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah, it would spin. I think it was either a slot machine.
I think it was a slot machine.
Yeah, and it would
tell you like Mexican food within.
Yeah, and then we'd give you the price range.
Yeah,
like 1 star to 5 star based on like how much each entree was.
God, what
and then
was
it would
that
come
app?
Up with a then it would come up with an answer. So you would go, oh look, it's Italian mid range, Fellagio's. Oh, and then if you committed, that's what you would do. You would go, that's where we're going. And then sometimes you'd go, oh, yeah, but last time, no, you found a cockroach in the iced tea. Let's spin it again. Something along those lines. Yeah, there was, there's a restaurant here in town that is really kind of big. It's a big deal. They've got a number of different locations, local, and it's a big deal, and it's got great food. The food is great. It's like country cooking, you know, like chicken fried chicken, big as your as a seat of on a stool. Fresh mashed potatoes, vegetables are great, just delicious food. Years ago, my wife and I went there for lunch, sat in the patio, right? Got iced teas. There was a bug in the iced tea, not just a little bug, a big bug. I don't know how it got there, but, you know, sometimes these things happen. Got a big bug in the iced tea. We never went back. And the food is delicious, but we never went back. I went once with a friend for lunch, and I thanked him. I'm like, I can't go back here. I said, the only way I can go back here is if I eat alone or with a buddy. My wife will never step foot in this place again. I felt it's been years and years, and we've never gone back to that place. So do you think that would be a good place to take her for dinner? For our anniversary? Surprise!
How do you feel about extra
happy
protein?
Happy anniversary. Oh, goodness. All right, so we'll have that figured out. But, yeah, that app was pretty cool. App was fun.
I had to look it up because I remember it. Used to have it. Urban Spoon.
That's it. We used to use it all the time. It was a blast, especially with the kids. Kids loved it. Spin that wheel. It's like Wheel of Fortune. Oh.
Oh, never mind. It's not. Urban Spoon has now moved to Zomato.
Oh, really?
Zomato.
Did they sell it?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's how these
says
work.
Everything is on Zomato.
Yeah. Nevertheless, that's my dilemma tonight. So, oh goodness. So again, NBA playoffs this weekend. Man, there were some. Like I said earlier, there weren't a lot of there weren't a ton of like eye opening moments. Yeah, like good games, like things that made you go, whoa.
Yeah.
Is
now,
this
not saying,
series taking a turn?
Like I'm not saying good games in the sense of like, you know, it's like, oh, this is terrible basketball. I'm not saying that. It was just, you know, you kind of want the Boston Brooklyn.
Right. Exactly. That was easily the best game of the weekend. Like, for example, on Saturday, you had Utah beating Dallas. No surprise, Luka Doncic is out with a strained calf. Most people, that's a 4-5 matchup. Most people figured it would be tight anyway with Luka on the court. Luka's not on the court. Utah won game one. Minnesota beating Memphis was really shocking. That's probably one of the shocking ones. Minnesota had to go through the play-in tournament, and Memphis was a solid 2-seed. They were a real solid 2-seed, and they had Ja Morant back. Played well without him, was supposed to play better with him, but Minnesota caught them napping in game number one. I think Philadelphia winning by 20 points over Toronto was relatively surprising. I mean, they were really Tyrese Maxey played really well. I think that shocked a little. But again, it's a 4-5 matchup with the four at home. And it shouldn't be all that, you know, it's not that all mind-blowing that Philadelphia won that game. And then Golden State beat Denver on Saturday. And Denver, listen, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter, they don't have those guys. Nikola Jokic is the only one on that team that is capable of taking over a series. He can't do it by himself. And Golden State played really well. And they've got a very, very formidable lineup. But when you're missing two guys that can really score, that's for Denver, that they're not gonna be competitive in this series against Golden State. I mean, they had Curry coming off the bench, for crying out loud. And this Steve Kerr has got this team integrated the way he wants it. I mean, Jordan Poole played really well, had 30 points. Klay Thompson had 19. So Draymond Green even played particularly well, and Curry came off the bench, had 22 minutes. So, again, on Saturday, there wasn't any real mind-blowing outcomes other than maybe Minnesota beating Memphis. And then on Sunday, Miami took care of an Atlanta team. Miami's the number one overall seed in the East. Boston in that close win against Brooklyn was the best game of the weekend. Milwaukee and Chicago was extremely sloppy. Chicago shot 32% from the floor, missing a lot of three-pointers. Both teams missed a ton of shots. That wasn't a defensive performance. That was just two teams struggling offensively. And Chris Paul and Phoenix easily took care of New Orleans, and I think they will easily win that series as the number one seed in the West. So overall, the game ones, other than Boston against Brooklyn, because of it, of again, not only the outcome of the game, right? A buzzer beater by Jason Tatum wins it for the Celtics. But again, there's storylines here. Boston as a two seed is playing the toughest seven seed in the tournament, in both conferences. How Brooklyn is coming together as a team that struggled this season on and off all season long, dealing with the Kyrie situation, and now have got him full time. And now becomes this very dangerous team. Celtics playing without one of their better defenders. And also the fact of the matter is that this is one of those series where you could see either team winning it. And you don't normally see that in a 2-7 series, right? Like, you don't normally see a 7 seed being feeling like they're on an equal plane. But Brooklyn doesn't play any defense, and Boston plays great defense. But nevertheless, the Celtics eke this one out after having a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter. Kyrie's story afterwards, flipping off fans, makes that game more compelling than the other 8 games that were going on this weekend. Now, again, as we get game twos going along this week, then we're going to have a different narrative. Like, if Dallas were to win tonight and even up that series without Luka Doncic, well, then we've got a different conversation. Because if they can get through this series somehow, Luka will return. They just don't know when. They don't have a good feeling. But, you know, if Golden State wins again tonight, I'm sorry, Denver, it's lights out. I know you haven't played at home yet, but that's going to be it. Toronto trying to even up their series with Philadelphia. Those are the 3 games tonight. So there you go, as we're rolling along in the NBA playoffs. I didn't know that the NHL playoffs didn't start till May.
Yeah.
May 2nd. I'm trying to remember. I don't follow hockey, and I probably should, because as we get closer to the playoffs, I want to pay more attention. Did they get a late start to the season? Did they extend the season?
I don't think so. Is Canada allowing fans?
Quick question. Did they take off for the Olympics, but they didn't send the Olympians?
Ooh, maybe.
Like, did they take a break? I really wish I
I don't know. I don't think
anymore.
They took a break.
I don't think they did either. I know that they did not send the pros like they normally do. Like, they used to send the pros to the Olympics. So if there was an Olympic year, they would take a break. Pros would go play in the Olympics, and then they would come back. But they didn't. And I was wondering if they still had it in the schedule to pause a lot. And that's why we're not getting the Stanley Cup. The NHL playoffs used to start before the NBA playoffs. And now, not till May 2nd. What are we going to have, the Stanley Cup in July? If Tampa's in it,
maybe that's again, it. Maybe that's what they're trying to do.
Maybe that's
You know, hey, let's have our own time.
Let's go through that. If Tampa Bay makes it to the finals again, and it's July in Tampa, Florida for the Stanley Cup, I love it. It's another screw you, Canada, from the United States when it comes to hockey, isn't it? It's a beautiful, sunny 95 degrees here in sunny Tampa, Florida. The beaches are full, the sun is out, bikinis galore, and we're getting ready for hockey. Wouldn't that be the ultimate? Yes. Sorry, Canada. I'm sorry we're butchering this sport for you down here in the good old US of A. Sticking teams in NASCAR country, Texas, South Florida. You know, by the way, speaking of South Florida, the best team in the NHL actually might be in South Florida, the Florida Panthers. That might actually be the best team in the NHL next to the Colorado Avalanche. It's great. I don't know. So, I don't We'll see.
No, playoff hockey is always fun.
I love playoff hockey. And they it doesn't catch me in the regular season like it should. It doesn't pull me in like the NBA pulls me in. I've been an NBA guy since I was a kid.
No, but the only thing I can't stand with the NBA is just how spread out these playoffs
are.
Oh,
God, it takes forever to get a first
round
series.
I love the fact that, you know, like what Brian said, you know, it's like you have NFL time to get ready, prepare, overanalyze every little aspect of this.
But that's what we do. That's exactly what happens. Overanalyze everything.
Yeah, but I mean, God, I mean.
The rhythm.
This guy, yeah. It's almost like, you know, everyone plays, and everyone take a break, take a few days off. Now we're going to play again. It's equal footing one more time. And I know they're just trying to draw it all out, but.
Yeah. I've tried in my life to really get into the NHL. I've lived in NHL markets and cities. My wife loves hockey. Like, she loves but she liked the Tampa Bay Lightning growing up in St. Petersburg. They used to play at the old where Tropicana Field is. They used to play there, which was right down the road from where she lived. And then, you know, but I tried. When I was a kid, I could get Celtics games on TV, but I couldn't get Bruins games on TV. So even though the Bruins were in the news, I didn't watch them enough to really, and I didn't play the sport. So I didn't connect with hockey as well as I should.
Okay. You had mentioned something about the Stanley Cup playoffs and I was curious about it. I'm like, okay, you know, is this a new thing? And yeah, you're absolutely right. 2018 started, the playoffs started April 11th. 2019 started April 10th. 2020, we just kind of throw out because nothing was right. But 2021, it started May 15th.
Well, again, because we all got late starts to the season,
yeah.
Right? We were in the 2020
and then there was
mode,
like the whole Canada thing and trying to get enough games in. So
yep.
I don't know if it's, you know, are we just on that new pattern now?
Maybe that's the case. Or maybe they just made an agreement, like, we're going to space this out a little bit more, not do as many back-to-backs or whatever, so we're going to take our 80 games and really just, like, you'll play Tuesday and then you won't play again until Saturday. Maybe they just added you add a few more days where it may not seem obvious, but if you, you add a few more days off interwoven into the calendar, next thing you know, you're starting the playoffs May 2nd, right? Like, almost a month later. But yeah, I mean, that's when it's going to get started. So, you know, this will run through at least till, it's got to be till July.
It says,
right?
June 22. Not the date, just to June 2022.
Oh, come on. They're going to cram in all these rounds of the postseason.
They're going to
show late June.
They're going to show you how it's done.
Maybe. All
versus
right.
How.
All right, we'll see.
I think I feel like willing
to have a fun bet that the NHL Stanley Cup Finals land in July at some point. There's no way they're getting it.
I mean, it's only 16
maybe,
teams.
Maybe so. Maybe they've got a formula that works for them. I don't know. But right now, without knowing that formula, Ron, I'm almost guaranteeing it's sometime in July that we're going to be playing Stanley Cup hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We continue with the Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with this Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Yo, we're just going back to the NHL postseason. I have to say, and again, I honestly have friends in my life who love the National Hockey League. Love it. Love it. Love it. Like, almost to a point where I go, wow, I wish I could love something as much as this person loves the NHL. Even here in Nashville, which really surprised me when I moved here 10 years ago, how popular the Predators are. Like, they're a big, big deal. So when you get to the playoffs, right, that's, you bring in so many people, right? Because everybody's like, hey, listen, I may not watch a full hockey game on a Tuesday in January, but you add something important to this, then I'm going to be captivated to it, right? And that's what happens in every city when you get a team in the postseason. You got the diehards, and then you got everybody else that sort of, they get accused of jumping on the bandwagon, et cetera, et cetera. But that's just the way sports are. But I have to tell you, and this is why I don't understand the hockey in my life. I have gone, I have called hockey games on the radio. I have attended more hockey games than I can count. I have watched it with my family. My son played it when he was younger. I have no idea why I haven't gravitated towards it like I should. But here's the thing. It is one of the most exciting postseason sports we have in this country.
True.
In terms of the energy. Because no other sport can replicate it, right? I've said this many times. I think that's the one thing the NHL has, just in its nature of its sport, soccer is similar in that its scoring is so, it's not plentiful. Right? A hockey game is like 3-2, 4-2. It's not, you know, it's not like 35-31. You don't know if the goal you got in the first period is all you need. You figure that if you get a field goal in the first quarter of an NFL game, the scoring has just begun, right? Very few teams are winning 3-0 in the NFL. But in the NHL, you don't know. You don't know if your goalie is going to stand on his head and 1-0 is going to be the result. Or 2-0 with an insurance goal in the third period. And when we get late in a game of a one-goal game or a tied game, find me another sport that can match it in terms of what the overtime presents or what the last few minutes can present. It's insane. It's mentally draining. I mean, it's like those nights where a game goes into like three overtimes and on a like game four of a series. Like Edmonton's playing Anaheim, and then you wake up and find out that game went to like 3 o'clock in the morning. Like that's incredible. Like we don't, you know, you don't get that usually in the NBA. You rarely see triple overtime basketball in the NBA, but they're not just playing 5 minutes; they're playing 20 minutes. Like when you see a game going to three overtimes in the playoffs, they went through 3 20-minute. It's like, it's how do they walk? How do they get on the skates and skate around? How come they're not collapsing? It's amazing to me. But the energy level of an NHL game in terms of when it's close and tight, it's second to none. It's something I can't bring to. And again, soccer is the only other sport that's equivalent in the style of play. But even soccer, because of the field is so big, like it takes a while to get down the field when you're on a, you know what I mean? You can kick it. And so, but the NHL, you can go from goal to goal in seconds and have a scoring chance. You can come off a save of your goaltender and put a scoring chance on net within 3 seconds, if not sooner than that. And it's intense. And so again, I do not understand. Of all, like again, I go at sports with open minds, people. I have watched sports I knew nothing about, and I take it for what it is. I've never been a guy that has ever said, I'll never watch that. That's stupid. Never. I've always been like, no, if it's interesting, it's interesting. You know what? If it's intriguing, it's intriguing. I like to learn new things. We joked one time on this show, we actually made a promo about it, how we both don't understand cricket. Doesn't mean I dislike cricket. I just don't know anything about it. And I've never been in a position in my life where I had to understand it. But Lord knows, if we have a national cricket team that I had to get on the ball with and had to study, I would know as much about it as possible. Same thing with curling. I watch curling. I got no idea how that rock is supposed to. I don't know what the scoring is. I have no idea what they're trying to do with it. It's like, are they trying to bump something out of the way? I got nothing.
My middle son. Showing some interest in lacrosse.
Lacrosse.
Nah, yeah. if he joins the team, I want to. I'm all in.
I have no idea
how that game's played.
I get the idea of putting, but I don't know the strategy behind it. I don't know the rules. Like who's offsides, who's onsides. Mm-hmm. Can you, like what does it have to be passed a particular number of times before this? Like I don't know. You're right, but Lord knows if I had to for whatever reason, I'd be all over.
Yeah,
I would never refuse to learn a sport. But again, the NHL playoffs, you won't find a more exciting thing. We'll talk NFL draft coming up next. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
You're listening. listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we'll get a little bit into the NFL draft. That is coming up a week from Thursday. Yeah, it's coming quick. But we all also been talking this morning about the NBA playoffs and Kyrie Irving's response to the Boston fans. And if you're just joining the show, listen, I understand when you buy a ticket to a game, you can boo, you can jeer, you can yell. It's your right as a fan, and that's been going on forever. I mean, if you were in a time machine and you went back to the earliest competition, I'm sure there were people, spectators yelling and screaming back then too. It's like almost like human nature. So I'm not anti-booing or jeering, whatever. It's just comes with the territory. And I'm absolutely not opposed to a player responding in kind to that if that player is emotionally capable of handling that and his job. I would be worried, for example, if a player responded to a hostile fan base when they're on the road and then went out and was 3 for 45 from the floor. That would be my concern if I was a coach. But if my player, Kyrie Irving, is going to flip fans off and then pour in 39 points, including 18 in the fourth quarter, and there's nobody that is going to be stopping him, then I don't care how he reacts. Now, again, the league, they're going to be in a totally different world here. The NBA is likely to fine them. They don't like it when you do that to fans, the paying customers, etc. They have that level of protection that they're going to want. But I guarantee you the conversations are not totally outrageous in the offices in New York City. I don't think they're sending Kyrie Irving a fine and like, oh, this is unacceptable, rolling their eyes. They're probably just rolling their eyes at Kyrie in general, right? But I also think there's a level of understanding, and the guy didn't let it affect his play. And I also think that, you know, all right, let me just say this. I think there is no fun ribbing Kyrie Irving, okay? There's none. I think the hatred for Kyrie, as Brian Barrett said in hour number two, when he talked about some of the issues that Kyrie has had with the boss with the Celtics fans, I think that's real. I don't think this is general just ribbing a player that's on the opposing team, just finding a guy. Give me an example. You go to a Predators game here in Nashville, for example, right? There's a section in the upper deck, and if you sit in that section, they yell at the goaltender. It's common in all NHL arenas, but my wife and I have had tickets in that section a couple of times before, and it's kind of fun. They yell at the goaltender. They call him, you know, a sieve, and they talk, you know, they do all this stuff. Normal, you know, hazing stuff. Do they actively hate that particular? No, they don't. They don't even know half the time who's in net, right? I mean, they just go, whatever. Backup goaltender for the Colorado Avalanche or the Chicago Blackhawks. Just another name on the list of, you know, whatever. There's animosity between the Celtic fans and Kyrie Irving. It's a relationship that broke down, and it broke down in a bad way. So there's animosity. That being said, if you are going to a Celtics game and you're ribbing Kyrie Irving and you're booing and jeering him, and you know that you're doing it in some emotional state, it's not just picking on the star player because that's what fans do, but there's real animosity. You want your message to be heard loud and clear that you don't like this particular player for something he's done while he was a member of your team. You do have to expect it to come back in a certain way. Maybe it doesn't come back with you getting flipped off the bird. Maybe it's just he pours in 39 and that's it. But it's going to be it's not Jose Canseco flexing his muscles at Fenway Park while everyone was chanting steroids, right? Where then everybody went, you know, look at Jose. That's kind of awesome, right? It was kind of like, it was a little bit of a laughter. Like, we're going to accuse him of steroids. He'll flex his muscles. We all get a good laugh at this. We don't hate Jose. It's kind of fun. There's a real issue here. And I think if you're the league, this is one of the things you're concerned about. You're concerned about, okay, if Kyrie responds to that level of animosity, does it draw in even more animosity? Is there somebody in a crowd of 17,000, is somebody going to take it one step further? Right? That's what you're concerned about, right? Again, if you're just sort of teasing a player and he teases back a little bit and it's all in good fun, so be it. But let's all know what this situation is. It's not that, right? I mean, think about this. If you kind of grew up with the in the 80s, if you kind of remember the Celtics and the Lakers, right? There was so much hatred between the two teams and the two fan bases. But there wasn't a personal relationship, right? You could go to the Boston Garden and boo Magic Johnson until your voice was gone. But it only was because he was the star player for the Lakers. That was the only thing you had against Magic, is that he wore the wrong uniform. Kareem wore the wrong uniform. If you were in Los Angeles, Bird wore the wrong uniform. That that's almost like, it's part of the deal, right? Part of the deal. What you're concerned about in the NBA is this is like personal. Like, there's a personal relationship that these fans had with this guy, rooting for him night in and night out. And then it not only broke down, it broke down in this sort of way of just, there's so much dislike. Like, you feel like he dislikes you as much as you dislike him. So that's where the league has to be a little careful in monitoring this. All right? Again, this is just not booing the star player. This is, we really don't like him. And guess what? If he flips us off again, there might be something from someone who's a little bit bold that might cause a problem. And that's, I think that's what you're concerned about. But make no doubt about it, I don't have a problem with Kyrie Irving flipping fans off. Again, if that's all that it leads to. Look, if he flips fans off and next thing you know we got Malice at the Palace Part 2 Boston style, then yeah, then there's an issue here, right? Because one side has to be a little bit above the other side, right? One side has to be, you know, a little bit more man up, if you will. And that usually falls on the athlete, because you're not going to get a mob to everybody to calm down.
Do you think Kyrie likes this drama?
I think he absolutely loves this drama. Does Kyrie seem to be the kind of person that has ever shied away from anything like this?
No, I mean, you can go back all the way to the Cavalier days.
Absolutely. He just seems to be like, I will tell you this. You can dislike Kyrie, like Kyrie. I have certainly had my problems with plenty of Kyrie stories over the years. Okay? But that does not mean that I don't look at him sometimes and go, you know, there's a guy who knows exactly who he is. Again, you may not like him. That's not an endorsement of Kyrie's stuff. But I have not seen a player like him in terms of his confidence in who he is. And he's willing to do anything to support that, even if it means alienating a lot of people. Like, you can almost see some NBA players, after a while, go, you know what? I got to take that vaccine. I don't want to take it, but I'm going to take it. Kyrie was like, no, I'm never taking it. And we can rip him apart for that. No, you're not a good teammate. Why don't you follow the science? Everybody's taking it. But he heard all that. He heard all of that, and he still went, no. I'm not taking it. I don't care what it means. I don't care what you say about me. I don't care what you print. I don't care. I'm not taking it. And then he wins out because he didn't take it, and now he gets to play a full-time basketball. Again, that game, when we played that cut of him talking to that reporter, he never once said, man, it was just too much. I couldn't take it anymore. It was just a bunch of noise. I just got fed up with hearing it. And so I reacted to it. A lot of athletes would have done that. A lot of players would have said that. But not him. Not him. He treated it as if he was saying, hey, look, this is who I am. This is what I do. To me, responding like that is no different than anything else I will do on a basketball court. I will score 39, 18 in the fourth quarter. Lead my team back from a double-digit deficit, take advantage of the inability of the Celtics to guard me properly. Oh, and yeah, by the way, I'll double bird the crowd for screaming and yelling at me. It's all part of my night. It's all part of my game. That's the way he appears. Again, go back to what we've been saying all morning. Fans love to do that because they love to get in your head, right? They love to get you thinking about other than your job, right? I was talking about that crowd at the Nashville Predators games. They want to yell and holler when the goalie's on their end of the ice, right? Because it's on one of the sides of the arena, right? So think about a goalie down at the bottom, and just above his shoulder is the crowd that is all in unison screaming. People buy tickets to sit in that section specifically to act like this, right? They're called the crazies. There's a whole bunch of things. It's a fun place to be. But they're doing it so the goaltender will have something else to think about other than where's the puck, what angle am I at, et cetera, et cetera. Some goalies have known this for years, and they respond to the crowd. They'll wave to them just before they get in net. Remember that Washington Wizards fan? God, I wish I could remember his name. The guy that used to heckle all the NBA stars all the time. He used to sit underneath the basket. Wealthy guy, season ticket holder. Robin something, I think his name was. Have to look it up. But he was famous for this. He was famous. He would heckle and heckle and heckle. And it got to a point where the NBA players would like come up to him before the games and talk to him and shake his hand and laugh with him, right? He was just doing his job as a fan. But Kyrie, he knows this is hatred. He's not turning to a Boston fan that says F you and shaking his hand going, ah, man, it's all good. Don't worry about it. He's not. He knows it's bad. He knows it's bad. And he knows it's deep, and he's going, but you know what? I'll bring it to them right back to them in the same level. And I think that's what makes us so different. So I do think the league is like, yeah, we got to find this guy, but well, let's hope nobody throws a popcorn bucket down on the floor. And next thing you know, the Brooklyn Nets are being taken away by security into the locker room. That's what I think they're worried about. But it's pretty deep. I'm Wednesday night should be interesting. Like, seriously, it's becoming like must-see TV now, how the crowd is going to react to Kyrie. Because when you let them in, oh, Lord, no, they're never going to leave now. Set up shop, eat the food out of your refrigerator, start start using your laundromat and your laundry, start grabbing the spare couches, you know, blankets and pillows. That's this fan base in his head now. But again, doesn't look like it's bothering him.
Yeah, and they might be that way in the arena tonight, or what, 5 days from now?
Yeah.
When they play again.
Yeah,
I think it's three, right? It's Wednesday?
Yeah, I think it's Wednesday night.
Yeah.
I think it's Wednesday.
But I mean, I'm...
If you told me next Tuesday...
I'd believe you.
I'd be like, whatever. I guess that's where we're going with this, huh?
And see, this is where it's almost a disservice, because these fans are just going to stew the entire time.
That's right. You've got today, tomorrow, and then all of Wednesday afternoon / early evening to get yourself all excited for game two at the new Boston Garden, one of the TD Bank Arena. Golly, it's crazy. Oh, well, never got to the draft stuff. Well, we'll do that tomorrow. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Tomorrow I will get into my draft thoughts. Got a little carried away with Kyrie. I can't help myself. It's so good, man. I'm sorry. It's so fun. Oh, Kyrie Irving, don't change, man. Do we want Kyrie to change? He's such good fodder, isn't he? God. He drives me crazy, man. He just does. And you know what else?
Never want him to change.
Never want him to change. Like I said, it's not like I support him. Don't think I agree with him. I certainly think the earth is round.
No, in fact, you know, more times than not, I disagree with everything he says or does. I mean,
of course.
You know, I think he has said some things just to get a reaction, like, you know, earth being flat.
I think that was trolling at its best.
Yeah.
I think he was like, you know what? They'll believe I think that the earth is flat. I'll go with it.
But you know, this latest one where, you know, it's like, oh, no, no, I'm not picking a fight with Celtic fan. I got, yeah. It's almost to the point where he's like, I got nothing but love for the Celtic fan.
Yeah, right. Sure he does. Yeah. Yeah, of course. Of course he does.
But don't change. Keep that same mentality.
You can make this first round really interesting, Kyrie, because these games might not be the best. Your first rounds of the playoffs are not usually that great, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you get one or two out of eight that are really interesting, but for the most part, ones are beating eights and twos are beating sevens relatively easy. That's just the way it goes. And it gets meatier and meatier as we get closer and closer to the conference championships. So you could add flavor to what is just sort of going through the motions for a lot of these series, because you really can show up and make some noise.
But we finally got a buzzer beater. We didn't get one at all during the NCAA tournament.
Yep, we got one.
You don't usually get them in NBA playoffs either.
What a great buzzer beater, though. I've seen it 50 times, I think, in the last.
It's just a heads up play.
15 hours.
It's like, you know, when you look at it as a whole, it's a simple, basic play.
Exactly. But he's right. Marcus Smart, I would have shot it. Are you kidding me? I would have shot it. If I faked my defender and dribbled and had that open look, I would have shot it. But his ability to.
You went through two.
Yeah. And then see Tatum coming off that. Absolutely beautiful. Just really well executed. Way to go, Celtics. Well done. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for having your morning with us. It's Tony D, Ron Culver at Sports Map Radio. Again, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. You can find us on Twitter, as we'll see you again tomorrow on Wake Up Call.